You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, what's up, Square Pimper Gang? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Let me tell you why I'm excited, Harry.
Why? Why are you excited this week? What's going
because
on?
Because the Patreon is up.
Oh,
finally.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Finally. Finally. The Rock has come.
Yeah, we got some stuff up there. So
we got some stuff up.
Some good
more
extra.
Importantly, all the dudes have been thanking me for saving their lives. Now is your opportunity to give back, to keep us going so we can keep doing this show. Sign up for the Patreon, please. Even if you don't want to, sign up for the Patreon. All the gems I've been dropping, all the shit I've been giving away for free for eight years.
8 years
been
we've
giving
been
it away
this.
For free.
And that's an Obama term.
What'd you say, Dre?
I said that's an Obama term.
That's two eight, Obama that terms, is. Technically, but I'll give you, yeah, you got, you're right. You're right.
It's finally up. Go to
so badly want to be mad at it. Look at you. Y'all stink.
Man School 202, sign up for the Patreon, please.
Yeah, we got some good stuff up there. We're doing like bonus shit. We're gonna do weekly bonus shows. We have
listen
up there
to mail. We're gonna do listen to mail exclusively for the Patreon.
We did you a can... live consultation with Kat Gordon, a fantastic lady. That's a two part that we did, and then also we're doing some watch along specials up there. By the time this airs, you're gonna see it. We watch some dating shows and you can watch them with us.
Spin game, making jokes, doing what we do. Also, we're in the process of setting up this email, so you'll have, if you sign up for the Patreon, you'll have a direct email that where we will be using those emails for the listener mail. So
yeah, you get listener mail priority. You can go right through there. I mean, I just posted one right now, and you can just email us. You can contact us right at the Patreon, and we'll answer your emails first.
I've been giving this shit for free forever.
That's right.
I don't want to hear shit. Sign the fuck up. You've been patting me on the back, saying you fuck with me. Now fuck with me.
You've been giving it away for an Obama term.
It's two terms. I'm trying to.
I'm glad I got a new ice pick just for you, Andre. Just for you.
When we get back in studio.
We got a special guest in the building. This is my dog, my man, my 100 grand. This does the Comedy Central and all kinds of shit. He's been on the show before. Deep dude. Love this dude. Love this dude in a real way. I mean, I say that a lot, but this time I mean it. Give it up for Seton Smith, y'all. Give it up for Seton. What up, baby?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you, bro. I haven't seen you in a minute. How you holding up?
Oh, man, I've been having the best lockdown of my life. How about you, bro?
Really?
Oh, man, I've been loving every second of this lockdown. It's been amazing. I've been discovering shit about myself. Like, first off, I didn't realize I needed a vacation. Didn't realize that. 17 years of doing comedy. The schedule they give comedians is stupid. They're like, do 7 days a week. It's the only way to get funny. And my stupid ass did it for 17 years. I looked up like, this is... It's insane. I'm working with, like, you know, imminent crisis. I'm just like, so now that I took time to, like, take a break, I finally got to look and reassess what the fuck I was doing with my life. And then I started getting into, like, therapy and shit. And then I started, like, dealing with, like, yeah, hypnotherapy. Oh, hypnotherapy.
Really?
Explain. Oh, what is that? Like,
see, okay, the distinction. Okay, therapy talks about just your brain, right? But hypnotherapy understands that you are three parts. You're your brain, your body, and your emotions. Mm-hmm. And your emotions are in your body. They're not in your brain. Your brain is a receptor of your emotions. Okay. And that distinction is important because if you have emotion, if you have a problem in your brain, you can't really fix it. If you have a problem in your body, you can fix it. And that little distinction is different. So, like, there's a lot of ways that he teaches you how to talk to your body, feel your emotions, and then do these interesting techniques to heal it. So I don't know. I used to have these big problems in life, and now, like, I don't know. I'm fucking.
Did you ever do talk therapy, or did you jump right into hypnotherapy?
I did talk therapy, and I didn't like it very much. It's hard to explain, but I'm gonna see if I can explain without being an asshole.
Well, explain what talk therapy is first, and then if you can.
Sure. Talk therapy, the traditionally is getting on the couch, right? And the doctor keeps asking me questions. I feel like I did this today. Hey, why did you do that? I did it because of this. Well, why does that make you feel? And then all of a sudden you realize it's because blah, blah, blah raped you when you were a kid. It's all of them kind of goes back down. Right. Down, right?
It always ends with somebody raping you, apparently.
Always
raped. It's very always weird. Right. That's where the flow chart goes.
Exactly. And the thing about hypnotherapy, their argument is in order to feel better, you can't sit around and be sad. That actually is counterproductive. You actually have to learn how to feel good. And there are techniques to feel good and actually take the same things that make you feel bad and just reattach them. Like, okay, this part may be convoluted, so it'll be hard to explain. But you know how, like, let's say you burn your hand on a stove really badly, right? Mm-hmm. So every time you walk by that stove, you'll feel an emotional reaction. Sure. If you notice that reaction isn't in your brain, it's like somewhere in your hand, you'll feel like a tingle and you're like, that's a real emotion. That's not your brain going on.
Right.
I don't know. And that the fact that that's a thing, you can fix that. Well, you know, therapists will make you just go, well, talk about your arm for a while. And then it should become more of anxiety and you just find yourself paying them for the rest of your life versus like, now I'm getting mad hippie, Dante, because I really,
Do your thing.
I like hippie shit.
Awesome. Fuck
you. Just like the weed part, Andre.
This doesn't like count smoking weed. Shit. Shut up.
The weed part is amazing. Thank you, Andre, for bringing the weed into this conversation.
Until you start wearing patchouli oil, it doesn't count, Andre. You're just a weed head, not a hippie.
I don't even know what that is, Pam.
I don't know what it is. Do black people wear patchouli oil?
I don't think so, but that's the ultimate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they usually wear Egyptian musk.
The oils. I know oils.
Yeah. Egyptian musk they'll wear.
Why is it no one uses just a little bit of the oils? I've never experienced anyone. It's always a lot of the oils when somebody
is into
the
oils. All day.
Yeah.
Dog, my man wears it heavy, and I had to Febreze my couch. He came by to see the baby. I had to Febreze the couch for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
One of them 5% dudes?
Huh?
One of them 5% dudes?
Nah, he's just my man, but he's a big gator fur coat dude, but
if Dante was unleashed and Dante didn't have like something Dante to hold him back.
Unleashed.
Yeah. It's like Dante but less shy with his clothing.
Yeah, like
a heavier pinky ring.
Yeah, I wear a signature piece, fur coat or some gaiters or whatever, and then I'll do a pair of jeans and maybe a white t-shirt, and then I use it as a signature piece. Whereas he'll just
do it off the rack.
He has all this guy signs all the signatures at once, and it makes a big mess.
The gaiters, the leather pants, the mohair jacket, the gaiter vest, the fur coat, the
24. What is his cultural background?
The black dude.
More than that. I need to know where is this extraness coming from. Is he Haitian? Is he from Nigeria? He's a
black, southern black dude.
Okay.
Southern black dude. But I mean,
it takes a lot to make Dante go, oof, that's a bit too much. You got to dial it back. When Dante's like, I don't know, man.
I gave him a couple of my pieces that I don't wear. I'm like, this is too much. I'm getting too old for this. I gave him I had a mohair cowskin jacket with the mohair, but it was pinto colored, you know, white and black pinto. I gave him that. Because I just wasn't going to wear it no more. You know, I have rocked it a couple times.
The days of the mohair is done.
But even if I wore that, I would wear that with black jeans, a black turtleneck, a black shoe. You know what I mean? Like, I would tone it, and that would be the signature piece. But he'll rock that with a Knicks jersey over his turtleneck, alligator damn. Vest. So he.
I want to ask that nigga what he think about the election. He sound interesting.
If he's a Trump supporter, I'm gonna lose my shit. That would be so fantastic.
He keeps a ratchet on him. He keep.
Oh, this sound like a good person.
Yeah, he keep a Glock on him always. Like. He don't play, but he's my gut, one of the best dudes. Came brought me a coat.
Sounds like it.
He's a dude would just bring me and gave me an alligator leather vest. Like, oh, just wow. Go here.
As any good American would.
Yeah. So as any good American. But yeah, but he wears the oil heavy, and then sometimes what happens you wear the oil heavy. Well, and this is good to learn. So when you put on your cologne and stuff. You put it in the front, and then you blow your nostrils out, and you can't smell it no more. No. So you want the cologne.
Spraying it directly to his face,
you spray on your chest, but you want to hint it in. Yeah, yeah,
that's doing too much.
and then it's oil, so it stays in the, you know, they don't go nowhere.
You know, another bullshit one is when they do the step into it, like they spray it outside and then do a little.
That's
step
actually better. It. That's actually better. Bro? Yeah, because it's less. You missed in it.
You get a little bit of mist instead of just, like, spraying it on one concentrated area.
You know what I usually do for real? I probably, like, put a little bit on my finger and then just put it on little parts of my clothing, and then that's pretty much it. I don't really put it on my body ever.
That's why you stink. Yo, moving
on. My guy is sweet, boy. You know that's not true. Look at this little squirrel behind me with a flower, nigga. I'm wonderful.
Andre said that like he's hosting a kid's show. But that nobody paid him to. Like, he's like, I'm gonna make my own kids show for the kids in the neighborhood. Look at that squirrel behind me.
Kids, you know, or is that Trick Daddy? I don't know. Whatever. One of them niggas.
Anyway, but yeah.
I tuned to that show.
What's interesting too is what you were talking about. That, you know, like what you said, the burning the stove. That is kind of where I got the whole thing. So I always say when a dude says he. You know, he broke up with somebody and dude will break up with his girl and then he'll be like, yo, I'm fucked up. Yo, la, la, you know, I'm just trying to find myself. I'm like, nah, you can't do that, dog. I always say getting over your girl is five pussies away. Because what happens is, but the logic is the same of what you're talking about. Because what happens is, so when you're dating somebody initially, You know, love is a drug. It releases the same endorphins that drugs do. And so you become addicted to the endorphins, you know. But what's the trigger to the endorphins? The triggers to the endorphins is her voice, her smell, her look, visually what she looks like, her taste, all of those things. So it's like that's how when she, you know the tone of her voice when she's ready to fuck, and you know when she's not ready to fuck, because it almost becomes Pavlovian. You become programmed. So what happens is
when does the word imprint become involved?
That is the imprint. Imprint on you, but it's kind of the same thing. But you're taking certain things and you're arbitrarily connecting them together. So that feeling of love, it's like. I mean, this was a technique years ago, and this is like.
So this is like a scientific breakdown of love, though.
Yeah. Well, this is when you talk to pickup artists and they teach game.
Oh, but them niggas is weird, man.
Yeah, but there's still a science in it too. So, like for instance,
that's another motherfucker I've been researching, Dante. I've been getting into them because a lot of these dudes also have gotten to the real serious. They started off with pickup game shit, and then they started actually doing real hypnotherapy shit because they realized all that shit.
It's relative.
Artists, they've actually done books on it. It's all psychologically constructed to actually any sex. Like any, the woman, a lot of the women just like little gestures across the room. Like a woman is standing. When a woman likes you, she does what she's flirting with.
Squares up.
She actually curves her body, kind of like hiding a little bit. Little shit like that. You go, oh, if a woman is sitting straight up, like, what's up? She's probably telling you as a manager to get the fuck away from her.
Right, right. You know, well, here's the other thing. If you have a, like, I used to use this all the time in strip clubs. Like, I would go in and Harry's seen me do this.
Oh, sure.
Like, Harry was there, like, where I would go to the strip club and sit at the bar, and the chicks would come up, hey, how you want to dance? And I would go, I would be watching a game or something, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. And then look forward.
Right. Just turn away from them.
And she'd be like, well, what? Well, and I'll be like, no, I'm good, thanks. Because what you're in that, because your posture is you're communicating. My life is this way. My life is more important than you. So this is the party train is this way. So you're not important. You're insignificant. And so when you meet a woman, you're telling her what your value is. She doesn't know you. So how does she evaluate what you are? She has to evaluate you. We actually tell her what your value is. So if you go, you walk up to her and you're square up with her with eyes open. You go, hey, I don't know. Maybe you might want to give me your number sometime if you're not doing nothing. Maybe you don't. But if you don't, it's cool.
That's how I do it.
So those things, that gives it, you're saying that I don't deserve to be in this game. Like
it's especially effective on a woman who's used to getting a lot of attention heaped on her. It works like twice as much. So at a strip club, when these strippers are, which is so funny that people are doting on them, but that's the way it works. Even though you have the money, you think it would be the other way around. But they're so used to the attention. The second that somebody goes, nah, I'm all right, and then kind of throws them off, and now they
even,
have to
even
prove
not
something.
Even not there, right? It's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, it's indifference.
It's almost dismissive.
Yeah.
And then she goes, so you know.
No, I can't afford it.
That's not.
Then you're also, what if you say, no, I can't afford it.
Yo, Andre, why are you trying to fuck it up? We're trying to help people here. You're trying to be a dick. What if I say my dick doesn't work tonight?
Dante? I kept in the same area.
We gonna in send you same... right back to that prairie dog and that dumb flower. That's what we about to do.
That's my boy right there. That's the homie.
Andre. What if I tell him I'm impotent? What's the next move on the chessboard?
Yo, I'm in if you like little dicks.
If it's the 21st of September?
Hmm?
What? You gotta love Earth, Wind, and Fire for that one.
Yeah, but what is that?
Andre's listening to old school music now, so he's
trying to make references now.
See, I asked Dante one question. This is why you can't text this nigga shit. You ask him one loose question.
Yo, could you stop chewing and talking? Could you stop chewing?
Of a funky song, huh? And then now I just found out who the fuck Earth, Wind, and Fire is, huh? Bullshit.
Hey, man, can you back up? I don't want to see
Harry,
molars, bro.
No.
Yo, why don't you go finish your cookies, dummy? So, but you're saying that my value is more than yours, and then what you find is she'll make an attempt to get your attention because she's not getting it because she's accustomed to getting your that attention. The other thing is, I used to say this all the time. I mean, this is a conversation I had with Derek Gaines. I go, look. You just walked off stage. You just murdered. You're talking to a girl. Put your feet shoulder length apart.
Derek used to bounce around a lot. He was very antsy when he was talking to ladies. He was being fun, but it was almost like he was just bouncing all over the place.
But his posture was indecisive.
You ever see like a Muppet on Sesame Street walking a frame and they do that thing? That's what Derek was doing all the time.
But if your posture is indecisive, then it's honest for her to assume that you're indecisive. And indecisive means a lot of times can read as untrustworthy, and untrustworthy can read as dangerous. And then boom, I'm out. This guy's creepy. He's weird. You know. So
I got a lot more different, and like ever since I started fighting, and then like I had to start, you know, my posture changed, and I just, it was a lot of I did these unconsciously where just suddenly my conversations with people got different, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That fucking posture shit goes so goddamn far. Such basic man shit to tell 12-year-olds. Let me go, fuck your logic.
Yo, Steven, what discipline?
Oh, MMA.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so I just, it's not, MMA is not traditional shit, but still, you get punched in the face enough where you still start walking different. I don't know.
But I think it's more so like, I notice a lot of jiu-jitsu fighters, any discipline that causes you to have like rounded shoulders or like a pushed sternum in, they kind of like have that ape look because they're constantly hunched over.
That's like different. That's a little different. That's more steroids. That's a different thing. I'm talking about basic martial arts. Like, even like if you go to a nigga who went to taekwondo class, they don't really know how to fight well, but they still have like a posture of like.
Yeah, there's a posture because I need to see. Mm-hmm. I need to be aware of what's going on. I don't want to get kicked in the head.
Would it also be to the possibility of like maybe they have better posture because they have like a confidence correlation to being in a martial arts class, so they feel like a little.
It's you know what I'm saying? Like,
that, yes. Or they couldn't know Earth, Wind, and Fire. That could be
September.
No, I mean, but yeah, Dre. I mean, yeah, absolutely right. There's a confidence. There's a confidence that you get because of the fact that you know that you can defend yourself. I mean, when you're afraid. Your posture is fearful. You have a fearful posture. And confidence also has a posture. Depression has a posture.
I think that's no therapy. That's what they were saying. They were like, yo, if you are feeling a certain way, look at how you're standing. And I bet you, if you change the way you're standing, 90% of your emotions will change. There is a posture for happiness.
Now, is that part of the hypnotherapy? Is that part? Yes. Well, it's interesting because I talked about that all the time. It's like, if you're depressed, and you stand in a mirror and force your and just giggle in the mirror.
Absolutely.
You will not. You cannot be so because there's a body to mind connection.
Well, it fires off synapses and it also activates the part of the brain that would be activated if you were legitimately smiling from happiness to begin with.
Sure, so
it
sends
my theory for depression go be because a lot of times I feel like people that are depressed
this is Andre's go
both
shoot some
niggas
hoops
do this
theory.
A lot and it's never actually funny now I'll continue so I think what happens is people with depression they like spend a lot of time being in their heads versus just being a person like go outside and just go do some human shit baseline human shit. Go play in the water a little
that
bit.
Was
go
very
put
good,
your feet
Andre.
Down in the sand. Go like walk outside or something like.
Well, that's what you said. That's what you're saying. It's just doing things. There's a connection to. Look, I mean, it's hard being depressed if you're skipping. You know, if you just start skipping,
like attending to the humanity in yourself versus just sitting down thinking about shit that has nothing to do with your actual species.
Well, the thinking, to be really honest, the thinking is a body posture. Do you know what I mean? It's not just, I know what you're saying as if sitting down thinking is something that exists separate of a body posture.
No, what I'm saying has nothing to do in conjunction with what you're saying. I'm not even debating.
No, what
anything.
I'm saying is,
adding on to what you were saying.
Right, what I'm saying is what you're saying is exactly right, connected to the fact that body posture is connected to emotion and emotion is connected to body posture. So what you're saying is do some human shit. I can't see you, Dre. Where the fuck did you go?
Right here.
So what I'm saying, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's not just, I'm saying that there's a holistic connection between all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it in terms of humanity, but what the question really, I think what C was saying when you talk about this therapy, what you're saying is you don't even have, it's not even the thought of the humanity, simply the difference in posture changes the emotion. There's
in
a
no way, shape, or form was I in disagreement to anything that was said prior.
I didn't say you was.
Andre, sometimes we do jokes on this show, like to as a comedy show.
I was not doing a setup joke or anything.
I was saying you're absolutely right, and I was saying you're right, but I'm saying when you said humanness,
okay,
emotion, right, and body posture, all there's a synergy between all three.
I agree.
That's what I was saying.
Cool.
I was saying you were right, actually.
Andre, you just sit up, man. You're angry too much right now. Fix your posture.
You ran out of chips.
It's pistachios with a little sea salt on them. You know what I'm saying?
But it's interesting. So when I used to say how, you know, when I would say that, you know, getting over a breakup is five pussies away, what it is there's that same kind of touch that hot stove in the reverse. So you have these endorphins are released by her smell, her taste, her touch, the tone of her voice. And when the first time you have a sexual encounter, it's horrible because the standard is that. It's what you were accustomed to. The second one is a little bit better because you start to it's almost like you're rebooting the brain. The third one is you start to forget what you felt with your ex-girl. And the fourth one, you're like, what was her name again? So it literally becomes where you reboot your brain. Yeah.
Is it tied to just the number or time with the number? Suppose you get five, but it's five spread out in the course of a year or 6 months.
I kind of feel like it's the number, and
or
I'll tell you.
If you hit that five in 1 week and you a lightning nigga, does it hit differently?
No, I think the five is important. The different, I think the five is important because it's different body types, it's different tones, it's different smells, it's different taste, it's different tempos. So what you're doing is you're rebooting your emotional,
side of your brain. Does the time matter?
So the faster you do it, the faster you get over it.
Well,
you went through this. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Seton.
I'm gonna add another layer to the five girl rule, because there's something else. There's a factor where sometimes five pussies aren't enough, and this is the situation when, mm-hmm. When my ex was really a good. I told this to her face. So I'm not talking shit about her. We all know who she is. She's one of the best human manipulators I've ever met in my life. Just really good. I mean that as a nice. I mean that's positive right. way of saying it. My God, if I want to do something, or if I don't want to do something, she has a good way of talking me into doing it. It's fucking amazing. Uh-huh. So then, part of the hypnotherapy thing, I started reading about dark manipulation, how to manipulate people. Because I was really curious, what is human manipulation?
Right.
And I didn't realize, like, oh, I'm guilty of it, she's guilty of it, we're all guilty of that shit.
Right.
Simple shit like gaslighting. Gaslighting is simply going, like, doing some evil shit, and then denying that the shit doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, you just stole something. I don't know what you're talking about. That's gaslighting. But I didn't realize that's a destructive manner. Because then, like, in a relationship, if you just keep acting like you did some evil shit but you never did it, then the trust starts to erode away. But then you don't trust yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm sounding confusing. Let me get back to
you. I'll bring it together. What you're saying is you start to go, did she do it? So you start to mistrust your own interpretation of what goes on.
Right, and then when you meet another woman who does a similar shit, you're like, is she being trustworthy or is she being manipulative? And then you meet motherfuckers, you go, oh, this is complete manipulation. My God, this is like, some women would try to manipulate once in common. I met this one chick who tried to use like seven different type of manipulations per sentence. It was actually profound. I was like, my God, this chick is a genius. And just, I don't know, so like.
What was the example? What was the example? Give me the example of that.
Give me a second.
The layered.
Here was one. Here's a whole relationship. Hey, like, do you have a girlfriend? I don't have a girlfriend right now, but I'm also not really in the mood for a relationship because I'm really kind of heartbroken. Oh, I feel you. I don't know if I want a relationship either. That was the first manipulation. I didn't
mimicking.
Say, I didn't know.
That's,
I didn't even know.
That's mimicking.
She echoed me, but then she manipulated just a little bit. She didn't say, I'm not ready for a relationship. She said, I don't know how I feel either. So right. She put logic into my own brain, and now I'm gonna look, right? And then she says, oh, I'm gonna come over and just have sex with you, nothing else. All right, cool. And then she comes over and she's like, oh, you just wanna have sex with me? Is that what it is? I'm just sex to you? That kind of thing. You know, and then just keeps building to yeah. little like she sets you up, takes it apart, and then suddenly you're like, I just want to be a good person.
Now, Dante, do you think that's intentional, or is that
I think very rarely it's intentional. Yeah. I think because it's the way people learn how to socialize.
Yeah.
If you come from a family that's just right up front, you know, then that's how you communicate. Whereas if it's this is interesting because when I talk like black comedy is this is something that funny that happened. Let me tell you about it. Right. Mainstream comedy, when you're talking to white folks, another thing is I'm saying something, but I ain't really saying it. I'm saying it, but I ain't saying it. I'm letting you figure it out. So it's you. I'm inferring to what I'm saying. Now, with white folks, you find that's like sarcasm and because it don't really want to. You don't really want to say what you really mean because you don't want to be held accountable for what you really said. whereas with black folks, if you in the hood. And you saying, yo, this nigga mad funny. Yo, what, I'm funny, nigga? What you trying to say? Like, I'm going to confront you to have clarity about what you're saying because I need to know what the fuck you talking about. Yeah. And so it has a lot to do with the culture of socialization, the way we socialize and the way we're raised. So if you grow up with a manipulative mother or a manipulative father, or they use guilt or something, you learn to communicate in these ways. And then you have to kind of, if you want to be a good person, you have to recognize that is happening. And then you got to try to break it. I mean,
agree.
I was gonna say something, Dre. I want to go back to when you were broke up with Donifer. Man, when you broke up with Donifer, and you were doing the five, and you like, but I still, you were like, I still feel you.
And I wasn't even like, like really, really doing it consciously. I was just
You gotta explain that.
Andre was like, I was just banging chicks, ball deep.
Yeah, I wasn't fully being like, I'm thinking it really. I was just.
You mean you're trying to? You wasn't trying to get the five.
Yeah, it was like the five happened to happen if it happened. I don't even know if I even reached.
Did you? Five. Were you heartbroken about it, Andre? When you
he was fucked up.
Yeah, he was fucked up. At least some version of. Okay. Yeah, like
it wasn't some version. It was fucked up because
I'm in my body, bro. I know me.
No, but I'm saying. Listen, what I'm saying. We talked about it,
I know what I talked about. It's my memory as well.
Okay,
all
right, finish what I'm saying. So, I've never seen you in a place in an emotional place like that.
How could you? That was the only girl that I was with at the time. It was okay, either her or this finished, one. That's two finished. Women.
But I also don't remember.
The many other one that I've dated, so you can only have seen two reflections of it.
You was bagging up other chicks, too.
Yeah, but I didn't take none of them serious, so there was no chance.
That's exactly why are you angry at me today? Did I do something wrong?
Why gotta be that I'm angry? Because I'm not allowing certain things to happen.
I'm saying you cared about her. And you
absolutely, which is what I said. I said I was at least some degree. Can I identify what?
Go ahead, identify.
I have a full grasp or understanding of what love is, which is why I said what I said. Because I still feel like in my experience, I'm in my infancy of my experience, I don't know what the full understanding of love is. So, in my understanding, I could have felt extremely fucked up or at least a little fucked up. Maybe it was heavy infatuation. Maybe I was in deep love. I'm not 100% sure. So, I leave it up to, I don't know completely. Right?
Can I respond to that? Dre, can I respond to that? Can I respond to that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely. As far as not knowing if you were in love or not, A, it's a real smart observation on your part, bro. Let me just say that. Really smart. And number two, I would say, yes, you probably were in love. Because being in love is not necessarily about the person. A lot of, I love this interpretation. Ram Dass said, it's like, when you're in love with somebody, it's not them, it's sport, man, it's how they make you feel and how they help you connect to kind of like the source of all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're just more or less helping you feel love. They're not actually the conduit.
Well, it's interesting too, because you also, you know, a lot of guys will think, oh, I will do this, that, and that for her, and she'll love me. But that's not where the love comes. The love comes from when you get somebody to do things. They love you when you get them to do things for you, because you give them purpose in the context of their life. So what was interesting is, like, this chick was real needy. She was needy and broken. And so Andre was constantly trying to figure out how to fit in, and he was trying to be a good dude. And so he was working hard for somebody who was really making him work hard. And that's what I was saying, Dre. And so the love, so I understand that I don't want to say immaturity, but I guess immaturity and emotion was, oh, I don't know if I'm in love, but the point is, love is what it is at the moment. I mean, you gotta appraise the house for
what
it's
worth. Yeah, that's immaturity in my understanding of it.
So it's love in the context of that time frame of where you were at emotionally. And she was putting you through the ringer, and so you were working, and so your life was purposeful to try to figure out how to not just, she was so great.
Like, all right, now to ask, I got to ask a question on that, because you say my life was purposeful in that, where a lot of the arguments with her and problems was, I'm constantly going chasing this woman called stand-up.
Right,
so then, in what... That's a reflection of purpose.
Because
so, like,
it was her.
My purpose is causing an issue.
I got
the purpose,
you.
How is?
Because she was unhappy, so you didn't want her to be unhappy.
Yeah, but the problems really never got rectified.
It wasn't gonna, because she was selfish in the first place. So the point was.
I'm mad thinking about it. I'm sorry. How dare you live your dream? You live your dream?
So the point was. So here is the thing. Andre's a good dude, and so he didn't want to fight. He didn't want her to be upset. But he wanted to pursue his dream as well. And so he was trying to contort in a way to follow his dream and still not upset her and not make her, which there was no answer to that. Because she was already selfish, and so she was putting you through the motions, and she had you working, and whether or not it was something that was pleasant, because I mean it was ridiculous. I mean, like, it's like she said, I'm mad at it. But the point is, that's where the love comes in. The love is the purposefulness that somebody gives you in the context of your life. And so, to the same token, when you're super independent and you as a man, you still have to give purpose to your woman. Otherwise, she'll leave because she feels useless, because she has no relevance in your life. So when you're so independent that she feels like she's not necessary, then she leaves because, I'm not getting anything from this.
Ooh, can I add another? Let me add something else, Dante. It's something else I learned. The two number one things men and women want in a relationship, right? A man wants to be supported, and a woman wants to be chosen. So, like, I've had the same problem with you. I've had women be like, yo, you're choosing comedy over me.
Right.
But these motherfuckers in charge, instead of actually trying to be a better person, they decide to be the most unsupported person they can be. So it's like, we're both not getting what we want from this conversation.
Right. Well, you can't, I mean, we said this all the time, that you can't let your dream, like, you can't let comedy be your side bitch.
No.
Like, you have it, the on the very platform that you both stand on, that has to be clear. And the minute that what the platform is questioned, you got to be like, okay, then we can't do this. Because that's the platform that we stand on. And so you find, and this is the same way you get women who will get, like, dirtbag dudes who are just horrible, that they bail out of jail and but this, and he needs me. So what is he going to do? How's he going to live without me?
It gives her a purpose in somebody's life.
Exactly.
And sometimes they prefer that over having no purpose.
So that chick was working him And he was uncomfortable. Dre was uncomfortable. I felt sorry for him because I was going through the same situation with my Donifer. Like, I had gone through mine, and she was putting me through the and it was like, but I understood. I understood.
It was like watching varsity and junior varsity at the same time.
Yeah, that's why. Well, my her name was Dawn. We called her Donifer. Like, it was there.
Well, you could guess what her name was.
So it was interesting.
I got Andre on that one.
Yo, Dante, you ever tried this shit? You ever tried this shit? This shit to me blow. Writing down attributes of a good woman. I know that sounds. I've heard people do it. And I always found it corny, yeah, but I've been unconsciously doing it in my brain. Just little shit, I remember I was gonna meet a girl at a we'll say woman at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And as I was getting there, she was already there, and she was like, "Do you want any?" She just texted me, "Do you want anything to drink?" And then she texted me the menu. You know what I'm saying? Little shit like that. We're like, this woman constantly is worried. How can I make sure he feels good? First, and then you just go through the Rolodex. How many women would never do some shit like that? Did you fuck?
Yeah. What kind of juice you drink?
Yeah.
What do you like? Do you drink? What do you like? I see you drink this. What do you drink? Or you go to the crib and then she has your juice there.
It's already out there. It's already out. You didn't even think about it. Yeah. I didn't even realize at this age, like, oh my God, like, that's what love is. Like, before, I just thought it was getting pushy. I thought it was maybe just calling me. I thought it was noticing me. Now it's like, oh, you've paid attention to who I am, and you want to make my life better. Yeah. Oh. Well, I wanted to suck you dry.
Well, that goes back to the fundamentals of what you know, man school. What I said in the beginning is that, you know, relationships are really easy. Understand what your non-negotiables are, and then never negotiate them. So when you say, figure out what these attributes are, what you also, I think the attributes are great, but the non-negotiables are even more important. What is the line that you will not put up with? So, for instance, go back to Andre. Andre was not going to quit comedy. And so this chick wanted him to quit comedy. She wanted him to put...
She never said nothing like that. She
no,
was, like,
but
still,
she pushed it.
She was, like, buying, like, comedy books and shit for me. And, like,
Right.
She'll pick up notebooks and shit. Like, she tried in her ways, but it still is, like... I don't know, maybe...
Like, where you going? It was like, but were you leaving? Like,
But also, I feel like at the time, maybe if I was the type of dude to be like, all right, I'm the tote my girl around everywhere with me type of dude.
No!
Then, that's what I'm saying. No. He would be okay with that.
Nah.
Because that's what she wanted, and I just wasn't that type of nigga, so I can't...
That's not what she wanted. What she wanted to do was have... It was control. She wanted control over it. It doesn't... So, like, I remember that...
That's going to be difficult to attain for about anybody.
I remember I was dating this chick who... She was, like, split up with her husband, and when I was doing salsa, back in the days when I was doing salsa, like, 3 years I did salsa. And I remember her... This was before we were... Before we were messing around, he was still in the house, and she wanted to do... She always wanted to learn salsa, and then we ended up being partners, just dance partners at first. We became partners later, but he was like, "You're out there dancing, da 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 da," right? And then she was like,
"Salsa, how dare you dance while you do salsa?"
Right? And then he was like, "She was like, well, I'm gonna have to leave because I gotta take care of my family and my da 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 da." And I was like, "You gotta understand, this is not about salsa. This is about control." So she quit salsa, and he was like, "Oh, so you quit salsa? What happened? Your boyfriend broke up with you?" So the goalpost moves as it goes.
Oh,
because
so you quit salsa?
Manipulative motherfuckers! They're narcissistic little fucks.
Because then it goes. It becomes you take her with you, Dre, and then it's you take her with you, and then why them bitches is telling you you're funny?
I learned my lesson with taking women to stuff multiple fucking times. Jesus Christ. It's like problems must happen. One, I brought a girl to, I was dating this chick that was older than me. I was dating the chick that was my manager and shit. She came to the...
I'm sorry, your manager in comedy?
No.
At the Foot Locker.
At the Foot Locker.
I was out here pushing sneakers. Like a gangster.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Andre fucked everybody at the Queens Mall. He made his way from the Foot Locker to the Buffalo Wild Wings. He had a good run over there.
Nah, American Apparel was a nice place. Got me a little trouble. Brought me a cookie. Got a little issue. But
the people at the Gap saw him come and they locked the doors. They said, we can't have it. It's everybody's doing well over
mannequin.
Here.
Some of the mannequins look good. Understand this. What I was saying is, I forgot.
Oh, no, you were saying when you brought her around, there was trouble. But I never had that much trouble.
Some either comedian girl going to do something goofy, right? Like rub your chest for no fucking reason.
Yeah, you get that a lot.
Or they want to hug you for extra long. And it's like, that's today, not the fucking day to try to do that goof shit. A waitress. You know, you usually friends with your waitress, a wait staff. They say what's up, and the woman sees it, and now she want to start an issue in the fucking showroom.
Hashtag Andre problems.
I did one time during one of the comedy club Christmas parties. I did witness Andre literally judging a big titty contest. These two female comedians, where I saw from across the room, were shaking their tits like individually, and I go, "What the fuck
just
is going
juggling
on?"
Them.
I go, "Andre, what's going on?" He goes, they wanted to know who I thought whose tits were bigger."
And I was like, "Nice young ladies playing a game." Okay.
This is why you don't have a children's show with your dumb prairie dog. But yeah, but rebooting that, it's interesting that you know that the therapy of that kind of it relates to a lot of the stuff that we're talking about all the time. And
absolutely. It's,
yeah, but that, you know, understanding what the non-negotiables are is really important. So it's, and I say the same thing to women. When women listen, I say, listen, if you say that fidelity is non-negotiable or infidelity is non-negotiable, and then he cheats and you stay, then it wasn't non-negotiable. But now we're also dealing with an honesty problem. Like, now you're disingenuous. Now you have said, even if you have said that this is disingenuous, just because I benefit from you being disingenuous doesn't make you trustworthy. It still makes you untrustworthy. So it's an interesting, and I say that even with dudes, you know, like for instance, if you're gonna say comedy is this is my love and this I'm following my dream, and then you bend that rule to accommodate her, then it wasn't the most important thing. Then it wasn't non-negotiable. If you're willing to compromise that. You got to be willing. And you not having the credibility of keeping your word is what lessens your attractiveness. You know what I mean? Falls apart. Seton, thank you so much for doing the show, dog. Man, I love you to death, bro.
Love too, man. It's been a quick ass hour. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Dante, we're gonna keep going with Seton, but we're gonna do a short one for the Patreon only.
Hey, so do it behind the thing.
Yeah, if you guys want to join us, we got a couple more questions with, and we're gonna answer a couple listener mails too.
Okay.
With Seton's help and everything, so
I'd like Seton to still talk, kind of explain the whole the therapy thing. Can you finish
that.
Explaining that to Seton?
Love to, man. I'm thinking about this shit all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, now?
Or yeah.
The Patreon. Oh, yeah. The Patreon. Yeah, no, I'm with Seton. I thought you meant the Patreon.
Oh, we're doing it now, right? You just going to cut it or what?
We'll just thank everybody for listening, and they can join us over at Patreon if you want to hear the rest of this show with Seton Smith, and we'll get more questions, and we'll answer some listener mail if we get to it. But you know,
right, sign up for the Patreon, y'all. I appreciate y'all. Support us, man. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolutions being podcasted. Check Andre on the social media. Check Harry Tajanian and Capital Wrestling, all of that. Let's get into it.
Oh, yeah. Also, follow the YouTube page and patreon.com/manschool202. That's where you can join us.
Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Turjanian, executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.